think they got a little bit of different personnel than they've had the last few years. Obviously, bringing in a guy like Poe, you know, miss that guy. He's a leader for them. He's a very smart player. He knows a lot about this offense and a lot about me, so taking that into account.
We have a ton of respect for them, and they're well coached, very talented. It'll be a high-level evening right there, and we're looking forward to it. You know, it's just two good teams going against each other, and we look forward to it. I'm sure they do as well.
I would be so happy to compete against Poe, because that's my bro. And I would want Poe to punch me in my chin, because I respect him that much. But I want Poe to understand that we coming for that chin too, respectfully. It's all passion and all love. You come on my side, Poe, I'm gonna knock your head off, bro. And that's just snow.
Quick hitter to Jakir, has a blocker in front, down to the 3-2, reaching for the goal line, and he's in! Khalil Shakir for the touchdown! Now he's gonna run, and the beast has once again been released! Josh Allen with a 6-yard touchdown romp! Can you say MVP?
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, it's game day. What are you doing for the game? Plans, fellas? It's Thursday night.
We have a
beautiful
birthday party to go to.
Oh, all right.
It was scheduled around the game, so be going to that. That'll
nice.
Be fun.
You're both welcome to come over, watch the game on my back patio. I'll be out back.
See, I almost want to try to make an appearance because I also want to be outside.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be outside tonight.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
You, I know, will be outside.
Yes, I'll be on the patio.
And it'll be beautiful. I checked this morning, like, what's it going to be tonight? It's going to be like 73.
Yeah.
I think, like during the game.
How many people will I have over? I don't know. Sometimes it's just me. Sometimes six neighbors walk in. It'll be me and my dog relentlessly dropping a ball next to me to get me to throw it to him during the game.
Uh-huh.
Until I...
Well, he's watching the TV. What's getting in on the party?
Right. Yeah. I mean, all I got to do is keep throwing it over my shoulder. He goes to get it.
Yeah.
It's that.
He's asking you there to force the ball to a receiver.
That's right.
Though, is what he's
force
what he's
the
doing.
Ball to a retriever.
Retriever.
Please, force the ball to the retriever.
That's a t-shirt idea right there. Force the ball to a retriever.
Yeah. There's also, I'm thinking about everybody eats, and like nobody eats as much as him. He eats a lot. You know? This is definitely, he is definitely a focal point kind of retriever, this guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's like a goat, just eating
cans on
the side.
He'll eat. He has definitely gained weight. He is a house now. Goose is a house.
Uh-huh.
Like 80 pounds. Which is not, he's not out of shape, but he's a lot bigger than he used to be. All right. Watching the game outside. Watch parties are a big thing now.
Yes, they are.
There's a bunch of them. In fact, I've got one from out of town that I want to mention first. The Bengals and the Chiefs play this week.
Uh-huh.
There's a Bengals watch party. You can go to watch the game at Paycor Stadium. All right.
Okay, you can go to their own stadium to watch a road game against the Chiefs?
Yes. Yes.
Huh.
And
okay.
Let me ask you this. How much should it cost to watch the Bengals and the Chiefs at Paycor Stadium? You will get $25 for Pro Shop, a gift card, the opportunity to create a custom Sports Illustrated cover with the Bengal from the Bengals thrown on the field. How much should it be?
$25 to the shop is included in the purchase?
Yes.
Okay, so it's going to be more than $25.
You would think, yes, that it should be maybe $25. But how much is it to watch the Bengals and the Chiefs on a television at the Bengals Stadium? This is not the AFC Championship game. This is week two.
I'm all thrown off on prices now and teams because I found out the Sabres are it cost $12 to go watch the Bruins prospects tomorrow. let's go with like $50.
$100.
$100?
The Bengals want $100.
Come on, guys.
To go into their stadium and watch a game on a Jumbotron.
Got
$100.
Bengals, what are we doing here?
Who would do that?
What are we doing? Is there a joke to be weaved in here, by the way, about them getting mad at other teams, selling tickets to games that were in a neutral field, and here they are selling $100 tickets to watch a game on the Jumbotron or on the scoreboard?
On the Jumbotron. You get field access. The Bengals,
I guess that's kind of cool. You're watching the game on the field.
That's right. Bengals'
that's kinda cool.
Website says, fans receive field access to walk on the very grounds that Bengals legends walked.
Okay, like, guys. Easy. Like it's the polo grounds
or something.
I was
going to say, it's not Fenway.
It's,
you know, it's Paycor Stadium. Let's ease up, guys.
Right. The Packers maybe could get away with it, right? It's Lambeau, right? Even maybe the Bears, Soldier Field. Paycor Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not it.
A 4:25 week two kickoff against the Chiefs, and it's $100.
Yeah, that's a little tough.
So anyway,
should the Bills be doing something like that when they play big road games? If they played a road playoff game this year, should they have a similar setup watch party at the stadium?
That's a good question. So when they had the Brazil game,
yeah,
Eagles and Packers, both teams had watch parties at their stadiums. They showed them on the broadcast, lots of people. And I've been to a good old watch party, you know, not just friends, but I don't remember if I paid. When's the last watch party I went to? There have been Sabres watch parties in the arena. I know that.
Yes, there was one for the Winter Classic. There was one for, I'm sure, playoff games, right?
The last watch party I can think of going to that's not, again, like there are a bunch out at local bars in the Chippewa District, and that's different. That's cool. I'm talking about the team puts one on at their stadium. Whew, the last one I can remember going to, might be the only one I've ever been to, is the, ready for this year? Hold on. Let me hit you with this year.
It's going to be like 1986.
No, I was seven in 1980. Okay. It's 1996. In 1996, I went to the Carrier Dome to watch Syracuse play Mississippi State in the national semifinal. Watched a game on a big screen.
In basketball?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, with a chance to go to the Final Four. And they won.
Okay.
And it was amazing. There was 10,000 people there watching them.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
It was great. But I think it was free.
I would have thought most of these... Because
they're selling concessions. It was free.
Yeah.
And here you go. Bengals won $100.
$100.
So anyway, if you're going to a watch party
for
tonight,
a week two game, by the way, not even like a playoff game.
Right, exactly.
All right.
There are watch parties out there locally that are not $100 that are good ideas.
Yes.
You know, watch it with people is a lot of fun. So we had Howard give his whole speech yesterday how he can't watch a game with a person, which is, you know, I guess that's one way you could do it. Bills, Dolphins. Here we go. So tonight, vibe, confidence level, what's everybody feeling? What's the vibe?
I'm not allowing myself to not be confident.
Not allowing yourself to not be confident.
Yes. Like, I'm sinking into it's 10 of 11. It's the Dolphins. They're going to be fine. They always beat the Dolphins. They always have the answers for the Dolphins. The yardage numbers, I know there's more close games, but there's still some blowouts mixed in there too. Just that team can't beat you. And I respect them enough to know they could win the game tonight. I'm not worried. My vibe check is I am not worried right now about the Dolphins tonight. That, you know, should I take too much into what happened last week? Like the Jaguars, they didn't go nuts. They had a couple of big plays.
Yep.
And the Bills are typically a lot better than that at allowing big plays. It basically, if they have the same game they did in week one against the Jaguars, against a Bills defense that, again, more often doesn't let you have that 80-yard touchdown. More often doesn't let you have that 65-yard play to Waddle on the sideline. If the Bills can do the same thing Jacksonville did against them, but take one or two more big plays away. I mean, we're talking about a Dolphins team that's not getting to 20 points. Because they needed those plays to get to 20 points last week. They didn't score 40. They scored 20. So I'm confident. I'm confident that the Bills are going to beat them tonight.
They are underdogs.
They are underdogs, and I think, were they underdogs? Maybe lesser of underdogs, but they down like a point underdog in week 18 last year. They must have been an underdog, right?
Maybe. The story was last year in the game here, Miami was an underdog, and that's why the Bills had that celebration, that celebration, because the Dolphins tweeted out an emoji about being underdogs after scoring 70 points. I can't get myself to nervous.
Sorry, the Bills were 3-point favorites, by the way, in week 18 last year.
I can't get myself to nervous. Put a word on it for us. 803-0550. Give us a word to describe your vibe for tonight's game. Nervous isn't it for me. Worried isn't it for me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that, though, Joe, goes to, it's week two. If they're to lose this game, we've seen this story so many times that, okay, you got 14 weeks to chase them down. And there's a lot that happens. What happened in week two last year? Hold on, let's try and think.
Week two
last year.
Was that the Raider game last year?
The Bills absolutely throttle the Raiders.
Yeah.
And how different was the season after week two? Week three was the same. Week four was the same. And then things started to go in such a way that they fired their offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Week two, they scored 38 points. And by week nine, the guy's fired. So things change a lot. You know, I'm not saying anything about Joe Brady getting fired. Nothing like that. Just that things change. Mm-hmm. In week two, we do remember famous week ones. And how many week twos could you remember if you worked at it? Does not stick out the same way. Week two is E.J. Manuel beats Carolina.
Yes.
That's a week two game.
Mm-hmm.
His first win, come from behind. Nathaniel Hackett running out screaming it's a new era from the press box, from the coordinator's box.
Bills Patriots in 2011 is in week three. What's the game before that? Because they go to 3-0, so they must win whatever it is. But I don't.
Maybe they beat the I'll look up famous week twos. So that's going to drive a part of me not being worried. I am interested, as we all are. I am still in the spot, and I wonder if I'll ever get out of this spot with Mike McDaniel as their coach and the speed merchants they have. I'm treating them like a dangerous animal. If you're a trainer of lions and you feel like you've got them under control, but you know at any point something might go weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I feel about them. Oh, sure, I know the Bills have them under control, and generally things don't go too poorly, but I've always got to worry a little bit. I've always got to worry about Hill and Waddle and Achan. I mean, Achan looks like a game-time decision. He did go through their walkthrough with no different jersey or anything like that, no designation.
Mm-hmm.
So Achan might go. Mostert is not. He's already been ruled out. They have Jeff Wilson and Jalen Wright. I think they're fine at running back. Their receivers are healthy, which is something you would not have said last year. Defensively, they've got some pieces that are nice. I don't know what they're going to do against these Bills.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time the Bills are playing the Dolphins in the last however many years without Stephon Diggs, with their new-look receiving core.
And he went off against them in the blowout win last year, early in the season.
Three touchdowns.
Yeah. Yep. Ran away from him on one play. So it is different. It's new. The Dolphins have some changes, too. The injuries in Week 18 specifically would probably drive this home, too. But, man, just a 5.5-point difference in the spread. You were favored by 3, and now you're a 2.5-point underdog.
Mm-hmm.
A 5.5-point shift.
Well, the Bills had won 5 in a row.
They had won 5 in a row.
And the Dolphins were limping to the finish line.
Yep, they had lost to the Titans, right? That was the week before that. They got rolled by the Ravens.
If not that, they had a win over the Jets in there, too. But, yeah, the Dolphins are...
I think maybe the week before the Bills game, though, was the game they gave up like 56 to the Ravens.
Yeah.
So that might have been tough. So, sure, okay, so there are definite differences. But it is, you know, it's a lot of the same pieces in Miami, and there is a lot, for me, I'll believe it when I see it, that the Dolphins are going to be able to figure out how to beat the Bills. They've had close games. They've had opportunities. They've had fourth quarters where the game is still very much live, where they have a chance to kind of put it away. And
they've had the ball with a chance to win and thrown a pick.
Yeah, yep.
Right.
They got the ball back even last year in the finale. They had injuries, but man, they did have the ball back. Remember, they had to stop the Bills in a QB sneak on 4th and 1. On the final drive to get the ball back with a chance to win. Tua's got the ball with just under 2 minutes to play.
Taron Johnson pick?
Taylor Rapp. Yep. Going for? Who was Tua going for on that pass?
Tyreek Hill.
Chase Claypool.
Ah.
Which maybe speaks to the injuries that they were dealing with.
Right.
But they've had chances against the Bills. And you got blowouts on the Bills' side. You've got close games that the Dolphins haven't been able to win yet. So, you know, maybe this is... You know, I mean, a Tyler Bass game, if it's going to be close, we think it's going to be close. It comes down to the kickers. The Dolphins need a 52-yard field goal to win at the buzzer last week. So a kickoff, you know, a field goal, this game could be close. But I can't see the Dolphins winning comfortably against the Bills. And if the Bills were to win comfortably, just go, yep, that's about right. It's usually what happens, or a lot of times what happens.
It's week two, so it's tough to know. Is Arizona good or disappointing? Is Jacksonville good and gave a game away, or are they a team that's going to miss the playoffs again? I saw a little bit of the breakdown of that game. You know, Miami, to me, looked sloppy. They had a couple of fourth downs they went for and didn't get. And some of the breakdown I've seen of that game is that Jacksonville's defense was pretty impressive. So they did a good job against this Miami team, and they lost, but they only gave up, you know, 20 points. They gave up big plays, 100-yard receivers to both Hill and Waddle. They both had big days. They both had big gains.
Achane had a nice game, too, through the air.
He was ripping off huge runs and plays in the passing game. So, you know, it's that whole thing about if you're a Lion trainer that I just went through, you're always afraid they could hit you. You could have a great 11 consecutive plays and three and outs or four or five and outs, and then bang, 80-yard touchdown, it's a different game. And few teams do that. Especially, think about the storylines from week one, how passing was way down. Oh, no quarterback really had a great day. I mean, Josh had a great day, but all these quarterbacks out there, passing's down. Week one was about poor quarterback play. How the Dolphins do? 330 yards passing.
Yep.
He was fine. They threw the ball. They had their big plays. Oh, it's all about 12-play drives and how you put a cover two shell over a defense and force a team to take 12 plays. How the Dolphins do in a one-play drive to Tyreek Hill, which is part of their design. So I'm not nervous. I'm not worried. I'll find the word. 803-0550 if you've got one.
You know what's funny about that game, Jacksonville-Miami last week? You know where the Bills ranked in explosive play rate in week one?
I don't know. I know they had three.
8.3% was the number. It was right down the middle, 16th.
Yeah. I saw the count of teams and how many explosive plays they had, and the Bills were in the middle.
Yeah, they were right down the middle. You know, want to know where Miami was in week one?
Middle.
8.5%.
Yeah.
That was 14th. Want to know who was number one?
I do know this.
Number one in explosive play rate in week one. At 15.1%.
I forgot.
Jacksonville.
Okay.
The Dolphins gave up the most by percentage. And I think if the Bills want to do this, I think a bunch of the, somewhere like there was a Brian Thomas play. I think there was a Gabe Davis play.
There's a couple,
there were some big runs in there by Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Like there was a Tank Bigsby, I think, had two of them because his stat line at the end, I think he had more yards than ETN did. But ETN maybe had one. But yeah, the receivers had a few. So the Miami defense gave up more explosive plays than the Miami offense generated. But keep in mind, one Dolphins explosive play might have equaled four Jag explosive plays, right?
I was going to say, like, it is funny. We have explosive plays or 15 yards or more. What's 70 yards? It needs its own name.
It's like a nuclear play rate.
A Tyreek Hill.
Right.
A Tyreek play.
Because Tyreek Hill's 80-yard touchdown and, like, Tank Bigsby's 21-yard run
are both explosive plays.
On this are just, they're equals, which we know they're not.
Right. 803-0550, our phone number. Your vibe, your feeling. I've asked this question on Twitter as well. Which player other than Josh Allen is the most important tonight? Who's your most important player that's not Josh Allen tonight for the Bills?
Ooh, and I can't say Joe Brady?
Player. I did say player.
Okay. Their most important player.
Bills' most important player tonight.
Like, Rousseau is the name that's in my head, but I don't know that he'll... Bills had a game where they were able to get the Tua, but most times you don't... Your edge rushers don't even sometimes get an opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? He could win all his matchups tonight, and he might not get near Tua.
Right. He could have a great pass rush win rate and really only have three pressures.
Right. So I don't know if I want to say him. Like, he was so dominant in week one, so good in week one, but... One of the safeties, Taylor Rapp, might be my answer because that's how you could get beat by them badly. It's no more Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, and all offseason it's been, oh, what are they going to look like at safety? And here's Damar Hamlin practicing with the first team, and is Mike Edwards going to get in there? And hey, Taylor Rapp even's just kind of been, maybe because he was already here and they paid him a little bit, he's almost treated like he's a staple back there. You know, like he's the solid guy back there in the safety room. And even that, like, I would maybe want to question. So, like, the two safeties would be, I think, my answer to this question, because they're the two biggest question marks I have about their defense against the Dolphins offense today. And if your safeties don't have it, or they make one mistake by a half a second, then there's Waddle and Hill running past you for 70-yard touchdowns.
There's one play, we haven't seen this much against the Bills, and it's funny because on Tyreek Hill, you often have to say, hey, the Bills have done a pretty good job against him in the regular season. In the regular season.
Right.
You have to say that because you remember what play in the postseason?
The 75-yard touchdown right before the 13 seconds fiasco?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's that. Do you remember another big play in the playoffs?
There was a... Didn't he have a run that went for like 60 yards or something with the Chiefs? I don't remember.
I bring this up because I don't know how it came across my feed yesterday or 2 days ago, but in the AFC Championship game when the Bills are playing the Chiefs, early in the second half, you know, they're down 9, I think it is, and the Chiefs are moving the ball a little bit.
Okay.
You need a stop. Oh, I need a stop. They hit Tyreek Hill on a short pass. He makes one guy miss, and he is running away from Hayden Poyer, and it ends up being... Like you said, a 65-yard play,
yeah.
Not a touchdown, but he gets away from everybody. And I saw it yesterday and thought, that's right. That's right. They did lose him. That's the AFC Championship game version of the Bills. So while Tyreek Hill has been kept in check, in finger quotes, with 83 yards per game against the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry, 70. It's like 70 yards per game against the Bills. His career is 83 yards per game or something like that.
That might include playoffs because I know in regular season it's 52.
Okay. So he doesn't put up huge numbers against the Bills. They've got him in the regular season.
Playoffs, he's gone. His two best playoff games of his career are against the Bills, by far. His third best playoff game is 8 catches for 110 yards. His two playoff games against the Bills, there's a third one, Skylar Thompson. Let's throw that one out for a second. The two chief playoff games against the Bills, he went 11 for 150 in a touchdown and 9 for 172.
What's the explanation there? Here's where someone shouts,
McDermott in the playoffs.
I didn't ask that rhetorically. I was about to say, what's the difference? And then my own brain punched me in the face, like, buddy, what do you think it is?
I think that just kind of has to be the answer, doesn't it?
I think it might have to be.
I think it has to be.
I don't know why I haven't thought about it more before right now.
He's never gone off against the Bills really in a huge way in the regular season. His two best playoff games are against the Bills. The third one, by the way, again, it's Skylar Thompson. 7 for 69 was his other one on 15 targets, but that's a third-string quarterback. So
803-0550. Happy game day. Games tonight. This is basically the pregame show. We're underway. Give us a thought. Your thought, your vibe going in, and which player other than Josh Allen is most important tonight? Who are you looking for the most from on this roster other than the quarterback that is, you know, Superman consistently? It is. It's kind of like Buffalo Bills football Thursday. Chris Brown, 8:30. Sal will join us. We've got a Dolphins report coming up at 9 o'clock as we get ready for a rivalry game that I think I'll win some games over there if they want to be real rivals. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
It's about points, not yards, and then taking care of the football. I mean, you look at the games that we've played. The first game last season, we were able to take the ball away and score touchdowns rather than field goals. And in the second game, the last game of the regular season last year, we had yards, but not as many points, you know, through touchdowns and whatnot. So it's points over yards and making sure we take care of the ball.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Happy game day, Bills and Dolphins here in Buffalo. The game's on Channel 7, also on Amazon Prime. Next Gen Stats version of the broadcast, right? Fits on the broadcast.
Will I want to do Next Gen Stats for... I mean, I'm going to be at a party, so I'm not going to get everybody on board even if I wanted to. But would you want Next Gen Stats cast for the Bills game?
I don't know what the argument against it is. It's still the same audio. It's the occasional All-22 with the routes being run. Like, you'll get to see... Tyreek Hill is open on a play, if it doesn't go to him.
Yeah.
Like, Next Gen Stats often shows you open receivers. It also, I mean, identifies blitzing players.
Yeah.
I think it is an improved watch, but I know.
For a Bills game, though, it's
tough to break a habit, yeah.
Yeah. You're more invested in the routine, I think, when you play the Dolphins. Or just the Bills, when the Bills play in general. Like, I wouldn't watch Manning cast. If the Bills were playing on Monday Night Football.
Right. I'd go back and watch the next day. I would. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, happy game day. Here's my question for you. This is a tough one for you to answer. Because a lot of Bills fans do not take the Dolphins that seriously. They're going to win no matter what. They're going to win with Josh Allen. Wikipedia page, Josh Allen owns the Bills. What could the Dolphins do to get you to take them seriously? Is there anything they could do to get you to take them seriously tonight? Because I feel like your answer is going to be like, sign Dak and not and not Tua. Is there anything the Dolphins could do? Because they could win this game. They're favored to win this game tonight.
Yeah.
What could they do for you to take them seriously? You can give us a call at 803-0550. It's part of your general vibe for the game.
If they beat the Bills comfortably, that would do a lot for me respecting them. Like, if they finally did it. If they have one win against the Bills in the last couple of years, and and from that McDermott clip, it was a game where, like, the Dolphins scored their points. They didn't move the ball a ton. I mean, they didn't have a lot of plays in the game, but they had...
They lose their starting quarterback for about a quarter.
They lost... was it that long? I thought it was only the two-minute warning.
Oh, okay.
And on. But I don't remember. It was a couple years ago. But the numbers from that game, the Dolphins had 212 yards of total offense in that game. So, but they got their points. I need another one. I need another one that looks a little more real. That doesn't feel as fluky as that game did, where the Bills had 500 yards. So they come out and they look like the better team, and the yards per play numbers look good. That part doesn't even matter. Just their offense looks like they can get big plays on the Bills, and they defensively look like, yeah, the Bills can't do anything to them down the field, and Allen's being forced into mistakes, forced to play hero ball. If their defense, I don't know how realistic this is, can make Allen look like he does when he plays the Jets. You know, like something like that.
How different was that for Allen against Arizona? Did he play hero ball? You just tweeted out a clip of what is a forgettable third down pass to James Cook where Josh Allen makes two elite...
I can't believe he doesn't get it sacked on this play.
Elite evasions of pressure.
Yeah.
For anybody else, it's a sack. For him, he gets away from two guys, completes a pass, and the drive continues. And we're like, oh, the offense is fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine because Josh Allen continues to...
Yeah,
Superman.
This is why I like PFF grades for linemen in particular, because that'll never show up on like Osiris Torrance's stat page for like block sacks allowed or something. He just doesn't block his guy.
Yeah.
Just oh wait, I got the wrong guy. He turns around, free rusher on Josh Allen. Not even like a tackle. It was a linebacker, and Allen just steps around him like it's nothing. So. Yeah, one of the two. I feel like I need one of the two from the Dolphins. Look to me like you know how to get big plays against. You can look like your dangerous self against the Bills on offense, or can your defense, which is a little older but has got some talent on it, can you make the Bills offense look like they do when they play the Jets, which often is they don't look like themselves. They look like they have a tough time, and Allen looks more frantic, I would say, against the Jets than he does against other teams. Certainly does never look frantic against the Bills. He's got a streak of six or five 300-yard games in a row. It's five, I think.
Five games in a row?
359, 320, 352, 304, 400.
Wow.
And his over-under for tonight is 246.
The important question, Joe, is in those, how many in a row?
I think it's five in a row.
Of 350 or more?
Yep, 300 or more.
300 or more. Five times in a row, 300 yards or more. Joe, did everyone eat in those games? Paul in Akron. Sorry.
Hey.
Everybody has been eating. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I think one of the most important players on the Bills for the game is going to be whoever's covering Hill and Waddle. Those guys are fast. I know McDermott doesn't like to give up the big play. He'd rather give up the 2 or 4 yard play, but he doesn't want to give up that 70 yard bomb, you know, which puts us in a bad position. He'd rather try to force them to, you know, come down the field rather than that, what he calls an explosive play. I think that's probably going to be one of the keys to the game. And Jeremy, I wanted to let you know that a witch is a female, so Brady can't be a witch. He has to be a warlock. He's a male. I didn't know if you know the difference. I used to play D&D, and a warlock is a male witch. just so you know, just so we can set that record straight. But you guys have a good morning. I'll talk to you.
Bye. Thanks, Paul. The general vernacular about around the world of football is that so-and-so is a witch. So I'm going to keep using that. Like Mike McDaniel, I think, is a witch. Like an absolute amazing game planner. So I'm hoping Joe Brady is too.
I'm hoping he's 70% of that. Right?
Yeah.
McDaniel's not. You asked me earlier in the week on the witchometer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where's Brady? And what I said, like 4.6 out of 10. And if Shanahan's a 10, like where's McDaniel for me? Like McDaniel might be like an 8. Maybe even a 9. I don't know.
He's pretty good. He's got to beat Sean McDermott a little bit more to get that credit, though. And he has not beat him in the playoffs. Say what you will. Here's another point.
He hasn't won any playoff game yet.
That's right. Say what you will about McDermott in the playoffs. We just made this point. Like Tyreek Hill, the Bills do a good job against him in the regular season. Then in the playoffs, they have faltered against him. That has not happened with McDaniel. They've done a good job in the regular season, and they meet in the playoffs, and they've done a decent job.
It was Skylar Thompson.
True. It was Skylar Thompson, who had the craziest stat line in that game.
Right.
He was like 17 of 41 or something crazy.
Yeah, and the final drive. That game isn't – the game is still alive on the final drive, right? Because aren't the Dolphins like not able to get a play in? Wasn't that happening? Where they've got the ball – final drive of the game, maybe there's even under 2 minutes to play, and McDaniel can't get the play in. Or, like, the quarterback can't get the play in. They're taking, like, false start penalties, and they're wasting their timeouts. You know, like, there was even... That's the one game, like, I'll almost just throw it out for the Dolphins. You know, like, you were down to your third-string quarterback, who was a rookie. And, you know, I don't think he played well. They were in that game because they had a defensive touchdown against Allen. They had a couple other turnovers. And their defense kind of stifled the Bills for a little bit there. But, you know, the other games are the ones that I focus in on. And for the most part, they have not had just a beginning to end, we look like the Dolphins offense when they played the Bills.
Yeah.
They've started hot. They maybe even started hot a couple of times. But I'd be interested to see like what they do in the second halves against the Bills. All the questions over the years of like, oh, what does McDermott and Frazier do in halftime adjustments? And I feel like Miami, like, can you think of a second half where the Dolphins have actually been great offensively against the Bills?
No. It's been a long time.
I can't remember one.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you'd like to be a part of the show, we'll be more than happy to take your phone calls. What could Miami do to get you to take them seriously? Because I get the feeling a lot of Bills fans don't. It might be win the division, right? Win the division. And then even then,
You think if they win by 10 today, there will still be, oh, you know, like, that's fine. The Bills, they'll figure it. They'll handle them eventually.
It's tough. Like, if there's a play that's stupid or a call that's dumb, like a roughing the passer call on the Kyler Murray, you know. Yeah. And the Bills, you lose a game by one score, and it's we should have won it. That's every NFL team for the most part. I don't know. This Dolphins team is not that different than they have been in years past. I say that it's not supposed
that
to.
That gets taken as, I guess they're going to win. The Bills are going to win again.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's taken as an insult. What's different about this team? It's the same Dolphins team. They beat them all the time. What's different is they changed over pieces on their defense and they changed their defensive coordinator. And okay, but it's not like the Bills have gone through a much bigger change than Miami has, right? With the weapons change and the leadership change. And, you know,
there's defensive pieces that are different.
Miami had to say goodbye to some, but it looks like mostly the same team. 803-0550. Greg Rousseau, defensive player of the week. Josh Allen, not offensive player of the week.
Yeah. Joe Mixon won offensive player of the week.
You will not get me too often or ever overreact to Josh Allen not getting enough credit.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the worst of all time.
This is the one? This is where you draw your line in the sand?
Yes. This is the biggest snub of Josh Allen's career.
Oh, come on.
What's bigger?
It's player of the week, though. Like it can't be his biggest snub of
Joe
his career.
Joe Mixon's longest run was like 12 yards.
Yeah,
he had one touchdown.
And he had 150 yards, which happens like every week in the NFL, right? Not that four touchdowns Doesn't happen
four
a lot, too.
Four touchdowns?
But it is four touchdowns.
a running back with one touchdown got player of the week? Mm-hmm. What's a bigger snub in Josh Allen's entire career? 11 players calling him overrated is less of a snub than Joe Mixon beating him out for AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Like I said, I don't often go on these, and I don't really care about Offensive Player of the Week that much, but who's voting on this? Who? What?
Yeah.
Joe Mixon? You could have given me 30 guesses at who was the Offensive Player of the Week. Like, I don't know. What? Did they decide to finally reward a tackle? No, it was Joe Mixon, who got handed the ball 30 times to walk into the back of his lineman. Congratulations, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Is it a reaction to how bad all the quarterbacks were, and they said we can't give the award to a quarterback in like the worst week of quarterbacking that we've seen?
That doesn't make any sense.
You're kind of blaming Allen for his peers.
Have they already awarded him Offensive Player of the Week for week two? Is that what it is? Because they know
he's
playing
that,
Miami.
Now that theory I like the best. They know, guys, he plays the Dolphins next week. We can't give it to him back to back weeks. So let's save it. We're gonna give it to him next week.
Spread it around.
Yeah. Spread the love. Everybody eats for the Offensive Player of the Week.
It's like one of those scrambles where you have to use everybody's tee shot. Here's Joe Mixon. Let's get Joe Mixon's Offensive Player of the Week out of the way early.
Mm-hmm.
One touchdown. 803-0550. Allen's over-under on passing yards. We could dig into why that might be so low.
When we come back, I do have actually some plays the Dolphins have made against the Bills that might surprise you. The biggest plays the Bills have given up in the last two seasons, and how many of them are by Miami.
All right. 803-0550, you can give us a call on WGR.
So, in the last 2 years, start of 2022, the biggest plays that have been gained against the Bills. The Dolphins actually, you know, like the thought of, well, the Bills do a great job of not letting them get off like that. They do a little bit. Three of the five longest plays against the Bills in the last 2 years are by the Miami Dolphins.
One more time, those numbers.
Three of the five longest plays gained against the Bills defense since the start of 2022 are by the Miami Dolphins. Do you remember any of the plays? One of them is that Waddle play. 67 yards. Tua to Waddle.
Split the safeties.
Yep, that's the longest throw that anyone's achieved against the Bills in 2 years. Raheem Mostert had a 67-yard run in the week. That's the snow game here. And then Devin Achane last year had a 55-yard run against the Bills. The only two plays to beat it. Dalvin Cook for 81 yards. Remember that one? Minnesota?
Mm, yep.
And then the number one play was from the opener last year, Breece Hall for 83 yards.
Oh, right. Yep. Last time these two teams met, there was a kick return for a touchdown from Deontay Hardy. Punt return touchdown.
Yep.
You remember what Diggs did in this game last time these two teams played?
Well, it was with Brady at the end, so I'm guessing he had a lot of targets and not a lot of production.
Seven catches, 87 yards.
Okay. That was probably one of his... That might have been his best game down the stretch.
It's pretty important in that game.
Yeah. All right. There's one contested play
down the sideline
that he catches on the sideline.
Big play down the sideline.
Yep.
7 for 87. 803-0550. Bills and Dolphins. Tonight, Sal Capaccio joins us at 8 o'clock. Chris Brown, 8:30. And we'll chat Dolphins at 9 o'clock with
Alan Pupar from Sports Illustrated will join us.
There you go. Happy game day, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.